You know, who says you can't have good, clean, cheap fun? Probably opening myself up too much with this statement, but we went to see Laura and Tommy had their baby back at Charlotte Hospital, and so we went down to see them last night, me and the family, and went to visit them, and we was already down that far, and they got that new Carowinds ride, the new roller coaster. Y'all heard about that, right? Drops like a long way. Fury, yeah. Chris kept thinking it was called Furry. I'm like, yeah, that's intimidating. Let's ride the Furry. Really? No. And she's going to be a school teacher. Beware, next generation. But anyway, so we left to see Tommy and Laura, and I said, well, we're already this far down. It's just about 4 or 5 more miles. Let's ride down there and just, you know, look at it. So we ride down there, get off the exit, Carowinds Boulevard exit, and we just get on the main road going into Carowinds, and we just pull over and park in the grass, and we walk up on the hill, and we're all four just standing there looking at on the hill with the roller coaster going with nobody in it because they're doing test runs. It's a Wally World moment. Yes, it was. We're just standing there watching the rides, and then we just get back in our car and leave. I mean, it didn't cost us nothing. We look like nerds and rednecks, but you know what? It was good, clean fun. And we got to see the furry right there alive. So, the furry don't look scary. Yeah, okay. We were talking this morning about, actually, we went to Sidewalk Prophets. Some of y'all have heard of Sidewalk Prophets, the Christian band. Wonderful time. We went, they was at Civic Center here in Statesville Thursday night. So we went with some friends of ours. And yeah, we do have some friends. And, they're not here today but they were outside the church, but they're friends. And so we went, and they're just a beautiful band, have beautiful music. They got a new song coming out, and it's called Come to the Table. And it was so beautiful. If you go to YouTube, it's actually from that concert. Somebody put it on YouTube, Come to the Table. And it spun off a message for this morning about coming to the table and how God is inviting the world to know him. He truly is. Signs and wonders are everywhere to point us to God. Even if we haven't heard a preacher on the radio or seen one on TV or been to a local church, the signs around us point every human being that there's something bigger and higher and stronger than them. And so it got me thinking about, we have a generation that God so desperately wants to reach that is so lost, so rebellious, walking in such darkness. And God is saying, will you come? I just want you to come. And I know that we as Christians, and I take blame for this. I think we all need to some degree. In good intentions even, we have pushed many people away with our judgmental beliefs and teaching to where we push them away out of the circle instead of bringing them in. It's really amazing how far that many churches are preaching or ministry or Christian teaching has been opposite of what Jesus, we read about Jesus and how he did it. Now, yes, we teach on sin, and yes, we teach on wrong, and yes, there's things we say, hey, this isn't what God wants in your life. But not the point that we don't even get them into the house. You know, Jesus said, come, as you are. He says, come, and I will give you rest. Come, all who are weary, all that labor, and I'll give you rest. We're laboring, church. We're tired. We're frustrated. Some of us are living every day in discouragement and depression and fear and uncertainty. And God is, we're saying, God, you know, where are you? Where are you in my situation? And God is saying, I'm here. But you got to come. And this is not only just under salvation, but beyond salvation. Because there's times after we're saved that we still have many bad moments, many bad seasons, many bad times. And we have to say, God, I'm coming to you again. I'm coming to you over and over. Every time I need you, God, I want to come to you. I want you to picture at a wedding. When you go to a wedding, many times you go, you're part of the wedding party. You go to the reception. And they have tables separated with name tags or name cards with your name. You know, carry the Garvey, or not Garvey, but now the Nitsu table. And the Jambrin table, the Browns. And you walk into a room and you find your name. And that's where you're supposed to be sitting. You know why your name is on that table? Because you were invited. You were invited to be there, to sit there, to be part of the feast. God has set a table before all of us. He has set something before us, and he wants all of us to partake of it. We don't have to clean our act up before we come to God. We don't have to try to get it together, because I'm telling you, after we've got together, we're still not together. I mean, after we're saved and baptized and walking with God, there are still times we so don't have it together. There's so many times our life is frazzled. I use the example a lot. We see each other on Sunday mornings in our suits and our nice clothes and our makeup and our hair's fixed and we're putting on our Sunday smile. But behind that smile, behind that tie is a broken man, a broken woman, a broken girl, a broken young teenager that's broken and lost. And we're sitting there hoping that there'll be something said today that'll change. There'll be something said today that'll make a difference. There'll be something done today. Is there hope for me today? Is there hope for a change? Is there a hope for a future? Am I always going to be where I'm at, or is there hope that I can come out of this that I'm in and be different? And God is saying, yes, there is. I'm inviting you to come to my table and partake of what I've got to offer. We know the world has nothing to give us but heartache and pain and disappointment. The world lets us down time and time again. There's a new, thing, you know, that I've heard about, and you've heard about this, I'm sure, where these supposedly stars, superheroes and stars of our generation, are selling their souls to the devil for fortune and fame. And y'all know what I'm talking about. The teenagers know what I'm talking about. They go out and they sell their soul to the devil, and they're guaranteed fortune and fame. And that's really happening. We got mainstream artists that all you would hear about, if I mention names, has done that. Thinking that that is the answer. We're in a lost world, not knowing that all the riches and all the fame and all the glory and all the power and all the reputation is all going to pass away when it's said and done. Because when you're on your deathbed, breathing your last breath, or as Richard's mom, breathing six breaths a minute now, she's down to six times a minute breathing, all the money, all the fame, all the glory means nothing because it's all left behind. But what God has, you take with you. You know, isn't it wonderful? Everything God gives you, you take that with you. You don't leave any of that behind. When you leave the earth as a Christian, you have everything God says you would have, eternal life with him. No sickness, no pain, no torment, no sorrow, no separation. You have eternal life with him. So we're a generation looking for answers. We're looking for hope. We're saying, does anybody love me? We have broken homes. We have abandoned families. You know, we have parents that are acting like fools. We have mom and dads who are trying to be friends to their children, who are trying to be hip to their kids, who are trying to be cool to their kids, who are partaking of their kids' sins, and we wonder what's wrong with our generation. So kids are confused, and we're confused. And you know, you got to be a kid to be confused. I get confused sometimes. I have questions sometimes. I doubt sometimes. I wonder sometimes. Then I have to be reminded it's not an easy journey to walk by faith. Not an easy journey to take up his cross and follow him. As we sung Wednesday night through the fire, he never promised the cross would be easy and the road would be easy. He never promised that. It is hard to walk by faith when you don't see it. It's hard to walk by faith when you're lying in a hospital bed, almost at death's bed, and you know God can heal, and he hadn't healed at that moment, and you're like, God, are you going to heal me? You know fear comes in a moment like that. Are you going to heal me, or am I going to leave my wife behind? What's your plan for my life, God? And God's plan was to heal, Brother Fresco. We all have times we wonder, why do we lose that one? Why do they die? Why do they get hit by a car? You know, why do they leave me? You know, why did I lose my job? Why this? Why? We have all these questions. And I want to say this. God knows every way you feel. He knows every situation. He knows why you're where you are now. And he loves you unconditionally. Completely unconditionally. God's love, church, is not based on what we do for him. He proved how he loved us by what he did for us. I first loved you, that I gave my life for you, that while you were yet in your sin, I died for the ungodly. He says, I became sin that you could become righteous. I don't have to earn anything with God. He did it all for me, that I could just love him. unconditionally. Let's get into Scripture in Matthew 22, verse 1. This is a parable Jesus uses. Let me explain what a parable is in case you don't know. A parable is not a real event. A parable is an example that Jesus used as a story. This did not really happen. This is not a real life event. It's an example of teaching that Jesus uses here to make a point. Jesus answered and spoke to them and said in the parables and said, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. He sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden," that means invited, "by the wedding, and they would not come." How many people does Jesus talk to that he speaks to that won't listen, or that tune them out, or that don't obey, or that just refuse? You know, they say, "Not now, not today." If not today, when, church? If not now, when? What are we waiting on? We have a king that's invited us. I mean, would any of you refuse an earthly event? Would any of you refuse a big time, all of a sudden you get invited to, the Biltmore House calls. You've been invited to come and personally dine inside the Biltmore House. All expenses are paid. You get to meet part of the Biltmore family. You get behind the scenes tour and a free meal and pictures made and autographs signed and a Walmart gift card. That just always works. Would any of you say, "I'm not going"? No, you wouldn't. And not only would you go, man, you go buy the nice, you go get a new dress, and not a Walmart dress. Belk. That's the best thing we got in town, right? You go to Belk, get you a nice dress, get you some new shoes, make sure your makeup was right, your eyeliner was right, your hair. You go pay $100 for a hairdo, whatever. You put the right jewelry on, and you would walk in there with some sass. You would eat it alive. You would love it. And you'd be telling all your friends about it. You'd be at food line and the checkout line. Hear what you be saying. "Guess where I'm going tomorrow night? Go ahead. Yeah, like Barney Fife. Guess. Guess what? Guess. I'm going to the Biltmore House. All expenses paid. Get to dine inside the house and meet the family and get autographs and pictures. That's where I'm going. What are you doing tomorrow night?" You'd be bragging about it. Here God has set this table before all of us, saying all expenses are paid, your debt is paid, and what I have for you will satisfy you and fill you. It'll give you what you need. We're searching for love and joy in all the wrong places, and that's why it doesn't work. It just doesn't fill our lives, church. We think buying things makes us happy. We go on shopping sprees to vent. Don't do that, ladies. We go on shopping sprees to vent. We go do this to be happy. And God has prepared all that we need. And the generation just passing by, not recognizing, and being so confused. And we have such idiotic, ungodly leadership in so many places in this society now that are telling you there are no rules, there are no ways. Do what you want. It's your existence. It's your life. And if you preach anything else or say anything else, you're a hateful, judgmental whoremonger. And so we wonder. We got teachers in our local high schools telling our kids, "It's okay to smoke a little weed. Nothing wrong with that." That's happening right now in this county. They tell them that. And I'll get no teenager here to admit that here, but if I would, they would say, "You're right." They talk about it. We got teachers smoking weed with students. Am I right? Am I right, students? Am I right? Do y'all hear me? It's happening. We have leadership that absolutely is confusing this generation. Just completely confusing them. We wonder what's wrong. So they believe that. They buy into the lie. They buy into it and say, "Yeah, Christian goes to a college university, which is very liberal. Very liberal in every way. And thank God she has a strong foundation in her faith not to be swayed by that. But you know how many people are swayed by that? How many young 18-year-olds go into college with no background spiritually and absorb all that's being said? From creationism versus evolution to, you know, morality to whatever issue is being talked about. And they just buy into that. But God has prepared a table. He says, I've invited people to come, but they won't come. They won't come. It's kind of like we had our first primetimers meeting, or they did, not me. They did Thursday morning. Had 10 people, I think, Mom said, showed up. Not bad at all for the first one. But you know what? There were others that could have come, but just didn't. You were invited, but you chose not to participate. So you missed out. They gave away a $1,000 prize Thursday. Wish he's here now, don't you? So when you're invited somewhere, go. Because you were thought enough to be invited. God thought enough of us to invite us to his table. Move on to the next verse. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are invited, behold, I prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage. You know what marriage is? I've done a ton of marriages. I mean, I've only been married once, but I've done a ton of marriage to other people. As a man and wife, or a groom and a bride, stand here before people, they walk in this sanctuary unmarried. Doesn't matter how long they've lived together, they're still unmarried in God's eyes. So they come in unmarried. We say the vows. Do you take so-and-so to be your lawful husband, to love, to hold from this day forward as long as you live? I do. Do you take her to be your wife? Da-da-da-da, as long as I do. Place the ring on her finger, repeat after me. With this ring I thee wed, in token and pledge of my love and fidelity. Da-da-da-da. Place the ring on his finger, I thee pledge. Da-da-da-da. And at the end of the ceremony, the preacher says something really important. The most probably important line ever. I now pronounce you husband and wife. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. You may kiss your bride. Two flesh came in this sanctuary as two separate flesh, but they walk out as one flesh. The wedding was prepared. The banquet was ready. And they are now joined together as one. That's the example Jesus is saying here. The banquet's ready. The marriage is ready. What is he saying? I want to be joined unto you. I want us to be joined as one flesh. Heart and heart, bone and bone, us joined together. That's why he compares the church to the bride. He is the groom, and we are the bride, preparing his church for the wedding. There's nothing more personal or more intimate in God's eyes, honestly, than a marriage. You can come no closer than husband and wife, church. You can come no closer in earthly terms than a husband and a wife. That's closer than a parent and a child, than a brother and a sister, than an aunt and an uncle, than a grandparent and a grandchild. There's something about a man and a wife coming together as husband and wife in union. There's nothing closer. You're sharing everything with each other. All your emotions, all of your physical, all the psychological, all the financial. You're sharing your life's become one. And that's what Christ wants for us, to become one. The marriage is ready. Will you join me? Will you come? What are you waiting on? What do you think you're missing out on? There's nothing the world can give you but heartache and disappointment. Nothing out there for you. I'm telling you, there's nothing out there that's going to bring you satisfaction like knowing Jesus will. Nothing. There's something about knowing this Savior. And I mean knowing him, not right here, but right here. I don't love my wife by head knowledge. I love her by heart knowledge. I don't love her because I have to here. I love her because I really love her here. When we get so in love with God, I mean, man, we will cuss somebody out if they talk about our Tar Heels. If they talk about our faith, we're just silent. It's time to rise up and support and love the one that loved us. And say, as Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is power unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of it. Call me what you want. I'm not ashamed of it. And we have many teachings twisting the word of God and the gospel around to fit a lifestyle. Church, we can always pick some out of the Bible we don't like. But don't mean it's right. We can pick stuff out all we want. Well, I'm not going to use that or apply that. But it still is part of God's word. Either we believe it or we don't believe it. You know, we take our vows. We say, I'll love you in good times and bad times. In sickness and in health. In prosperity as in adversity. Through it all, I'm going to love you. It's a commitment we make. We don't cut and run the first time we have an issue in our marriage. Because if we did, we'd all be divorced after 4.5 days. That's about, you know, when the honeymoon's over, right? You're back in town, you're paying bills. The first morning you wake up, not on the honeymoon, you're grouchy. I mean, it changes quick. Maybe not that quick, but it changes quick. You know what? God doesn't cut and run on us either. He loves us. And just because Von Seal was out square dancing drunk last night don't mean God don't love her. In fact, God might be saying, go, girl. Go, girl. He loves her. Doesn't change his love for us. And this is what we have to wrap our heads around and let the world know. Yes, people are going to turn against you. Your friends, your homies, your peeps are going to leave you. Your crew's not going to be there when times are bad, I promise you. But when times are bad, you know who is there? The hand of God and the love of God and the face of God that'll pick you up and remind you, you are not alone. I am your God that walketh with you. I keep you. I help you. I heal you. I'm in you, and I'm not leaving you. When everybody else fails, God won't. When you're by yourself and feel like everybody has abandoned you, call up on the name of the Lord. And as sure as you call up on his name, you will hear and feel his presence come into your life, reminding you, yes, I'm right where I always said I would be, with you. Always. It's a promise we have. And there's time that's all we have is to call on God. I know every one of you in this room at one time in your life has probably cried yourself to sleep over something. Or if you didn't cry, you were awake all night, tormented by something, worrying about something, afraid about something. Your sleep interrupted, your dreams altered because of what you're going through. It's in those moments you call on God and say, God, bring me peace. Steal my waters. God, steal this storm of my life. And he will, because God's faithful. They made light of it. They invited them. They didn't care. Look what they did. They went their ways. One to his farm, another back to his store. I'm not coming. I'm cool, God. You know, I've got my own thing going on. I've got my spirituality worked out. I understand. I'm good. So I'm not going to come because I don't need to come. But we do need to come because we need the hand of God in our life every single day to protect us. I almost slammed the back of a car in Mooresville about a week or two ago off exit 36. This idiot in front of me, probably from Ohio, I'm playing. this idiot in front of me, I'm going down 77, and I'm, you know, going regular speed. I'm not that close to fight what Melanie says. I'm not that close. She wasn't even with me, but she still says I was too close. Don't you love women? You were too close. You weren't even with me. Anyway, keep silence in a church, woman. That's what Paul said. So I'm going down the interstate, and there's a car in front of me, and I'm going to the ramp. Well, I get the ramp's backed up, stopped. You know, 36 sometimes backs up right there, stopped. Well, the car in front of me, instead of, you know, I guess he about hit him too, he jerks out to miss it. Well, when he jerks out, guess what's in front of me? Stop traffic. So I locked down the brakes. I mean, I'm screeching. I have to go into the shoulder and then jerk back around to miss it. I mean, I know. I truly thought I was slamming the back of somebody. I thought, this is it. I had a Fred T. Sanford moment. I'm coming to join you. I mean, I thought it was, and my heart raced for probably 15 minutes after that. It was just, you know, it's amazing the moment you don't have it, but then after it's over is when all of a sudden you start feeling your heart and the breathing. I'm like, oh my gosh. But I know God watched me. God, there's no doubt. I don't know. I know it was God. There's no way I should have not hit what I hit. But God watched over me. That's how God works. He is our protector. 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 Oh, protector. Oh, he's awesome. When you think about that song, all the words, your deliverer, your protector, he is mighty, he is holy, he is great. That's our God. That is our God, church. So he is with us when nobody else was. See, I didn't have my sweet, loving, submissive wife beside me saying, stop traffic, honey. You might want to slow down. As she would have said in a very mild, sweet tone. I didn't have her. All I had was a car that jerked out, and there's traffic. I'm like, oh, I'm going, you know, 60 miles an hour. I had to just lock down. And God watched over me, so I'm thankful for that. I didn't admit that. I'm just saying you weren't there to do that. The remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed their murderers and burned up their city. I can talk about that, but I want to focus more on the end of this. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were invited were not worthy. Go now into the highways, and as many as you shall find, invite to the marriage. Now, what does this mean? Let's see. Should I invite this woman to the wedding? You will come. Good answer. Now, what have we got in our society? Let's see. Maybe I don't want... I'm talking about, now not us. You know how we feel and we love everyone. But for some people, it says invite everyone that'll come, right? Not if you look a certain way. You're not from my hometown. I don't think I want you here. Let's see. Who's got tattoos? You've got tattoos. Nah, I don't want you here either. And you got too much hair. I don't like that. So you're not going to come. And, you know, you're too short and you don't look like me. And you got holes in places I didn't realize you could put holes in. I don't want that either. No, no, no. Let's see. Who am I going to invite? Let's see. I'll invite him. He looks the part. Yeah, suit and dress. He looks nice. He's smiling. He looks holy. But you know what? That don't make him holy what he's got on, does it? Not at all. Invite all that we can. Why have we gotten to a point where we're trying to change people the way they are? I've told a story. Your little nephew, Carl. That's your nephew, little Carl. Yeah. He used to go visiting with Joe Brown, door knocking. He used to wear earrings. He came to me one Sunday, said, Pastor, I go door knocking. I got these big earrings. He says, that bother you? I says, it bother you? Well, no. Don't bother me then. That's all I said to him. Don't bother me. I ain't gonna make you take them out. If that's who you are. A few weeks later, he came in. They were gone. I said, Carl, where's your earrings at? He said, I didn't think I needed them no more. Nothing wrong with earrings. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, when we don't judge, we just let God do things. God will speak to what we need to fix or change or make us aware of maybe something we need to do different. We don't have to do that. And it didn't bother me at all. It really didn't. But see, he felt something. So he listened to that. He says, maybe I need to take him out when we're door knocking. Maybe it's not the best light, whatever. He did it on his own. I didn't do that. It doesn't matter. But Jesus says, you go invite everybody you can. Go to the highways, go to the byways, go everywhere you can and invite them. Don't pick out certain people that look like you. And there are folks that try to change people to conform. I am so glad our body looks like this. Aren't you glad? I mean, look at how different we all look. Look at each other. Not too long, you might, but look at each other. Gosh, we're all so different. Some of you are in suits. Some of you are in t-shirts. Some of you are in shorts. Some of you have got gray hair and no hair and purple hair, blue hair. It's awesome. That's how it's supposed to be. We're God's family. We're God's body. And we're all part of the same ceremony. His banquet. His table. And church, His table is so diversified in every way. From the color of our skin, to the background of our life, to the financial status we are, to the education that we have, to who we came from. I mean, think about this. Even today, we still have people that say, oh, you're a Jones? Just for example. No Jones in here, are there? Okay. You're a Jones? Yeah. I know about you Joneses. There are certain families that have a certain name. And we still, you're a Jones? You're a Jones? You know, I got some rough folks in my family. I got some rough folks in my family. On my Minton side, there's been some rough folks. I remember one person lived in Stony Point and says, yeah. I said, yeah, you probably know I got some family, some Mintons. Oh, yeah. I know the Mintons. They're kind of rough. I said, yeah, I got some rough ones. But you know what? We're supposed to love everybody, no matter how rough they are. Because you know what? That rough guy that you think so tough, he might be 6'4", 300 pounds, and tattooed like a Harley Davidson on bumper stickers, and have piercings and a Duck Dynasty beard to here. But you know what? That man may cry when he's by himself because he's broken. And saying, can anybody look past this to see this? We've got to look past this to see this. Like that song Mom played. I know she played the songs. I helped her get the thing ready. If We Were the Body. It has a verse in there that says a guy or a woman slipped into the back row of the church. And with all the judgmental glances, she felt her chances were better out on the road. My God, that should never be in a local house of God. To where people feel their chances are better outside the church than inside the church. Church, where do people go for help? If they can't come to God and God's people, where do they come? If we don't invite them to our table, what table are they supposed to sit at? In the back corner somewhere where they're not noticed? No, we bring them up and say, you're as important as anybody in this church, in this body. You're equal in God's family. Doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. You're a part of God's body. And we're part of the same wedding feast. And if you've got an invitation to come to Jesus, you got the same card, Carrie and Linda, and this sweet woman. And yes, you come to the table. We love you very much. That's what it's about. Go to the next verse. So those servants went out, Jesus told them to go get who you could. They went the highways and they gathered all as many as they found, both bad, bad, and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. This time, people came. This time, the ones invited came. They were honored to come. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he says, friend, how comest thou not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king of the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now, what's this wedding garment mean? That may sound harsh. This wedding garment represents his righteousness, not our righteousness, not self-righteousness, not self-appointed judges that think we're okay because we make the rules. If we don't have the garment of Christ, we're not his. If we don't put on his robe of righteousness, we're not his. No matter how righteous we try to be, if it's apart from Christ, if it's apart from Jesus, we're not his. So he's making an example of many self-righteous are trying to appear righteous. Many self-righteous are trying to appear they belong here. But you know what? You don't, because your heart's not right. Remember we told the Pharisees throughout the Gospels, you're not mine. You do all this in law and word and deed, but you're not mine. You pray my name, you prophesy my name, you cast out devils, but depart from me, I never knew you. They weren't really his because they weren't covered by the garment of grace. We can't come to God on our merit. We come to God on what he did for us. The table is prepared, and God has it already. God is not a forceful dictator God. He's a God that speaks to us, and we have to choose to listen or not listen. You know, after we're saved, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. And as many times I've not listened to that in my life, many times you've not listened to that in your life, many times the Holy Spirit would speak and you would just not listen, and it always worked out wrong for you and you didn't listen. He tried to prepare, he tried to talk, and we just refused to listen. There is hope for everyone in this room today. There is hope for a future. There is hope for something far greater than what you are facing or in right now, no matter what season you're in. And we have people in this room from the ages of 13 to the ages of 80. And each one is a different season. Each one has different needs, different issues you're battling. But there's hope for every single one of you. The future is bright if you're in Christ, because you know what you got. It's secure. Will you come to the table and say, God, I need you. God, I need you. I need you either to save me or unto salvation, or maybe I just need you to heal my brokenness. I need you to restore my joy. I need you to give me some peace. God, I need some hope that I know it's going to be okay. Because every day, you remember that movie Groundhog Day with Bill Murray? Every day is the same day. Every day is the same day. You may feel every day is the same day, but it's not, because one of your days is going to give way to a greater day for all of us that have our faith in the Lord. It's going to be a great celebration for God's people. God's not done with us. I don't have all the answers, church. I don't know why we go through hard times. I don't know why that good things or bad things happen to good people. I don't understand those things. I don't know why a little child has cancer or why someone's tragically killed, or I don't have the answers, and nobody does. But I know that God loves us unconditionally. And I know that God's got a future plan for us. And whatever we face in this world, Paul said it, cannot be compared to what God has prepared for us in the future. So, yes, we have weary days. You know, Joe Brown's inspiration to me. And I pick on Joe because he can take it, because he's tough. But Joe's an inspiration to me. Nobody knows what I know about Joe, what he fights physically. And I don't even know all he fights, really, but I know some. I know just a little of what he told me. But Joe comes in here greeting all of you and smiling and loving God, loving me, loving this church, and spends every single day of his life in physical pain, every day. Am I right, Joe? Every day you have pain in your body. But you know what? Joe don't go around talking about that. You know what, if you meet Joe in Walmart, hey, Brother Brown, how you doing? I guarantee you won't hear this. Boy, I'm hurting today. I'm in pain today. I couldn't hardly walk from the car. But you know, God is good, and it'll be all right. You're not going to hear that. He don't talk about that. You know why? Because Joe's hope and his trust and his expectation is in something so much bigger than what he's facing right now. If you can get to that point that you can suffer what you're suffering knowing what's on the way, you've got something. So thank you for that, Joe. You're an inspiration to me, because I know you hurt, but you smile and you just keep praising the Lord. What a beautiful thing. The table's ready. The table's prepared. Pull that song up, Melon. Come as you are. I want you to sing it for the altar call. I want to open up the offer this morning for each of you that just you just need to come to the table and you need something from God. Whatever it is you need, you just need something. You just want a minute to pray and say, God, I need something. God, I need something. Do you realize this can be a day of change for your life right now, this moment we're having? That's why we meet here. That's what church is all about. It's not just so the preacher has a job or the teachers have something to do in the back or that we have something to do on Sunday mornings. We're here because lives can be changed. And that's why we're here. We are a spiritual hospital. When you go to a hospital with an issue, I don't think any of you ever go to the hospital expecting not to get an answer. Well, I go to the emergency room and not get an answer. I'll lay here and hope they don't find an answer. No, you go because you want an answer. When we come to church, we should come with that expectation. I'm coming in today to get my answer. Whatever I'm carrying, whatever I'm battling. And man, our stuff can change from Sunday to Sunday like that. You might be great today. By next Sunday, you are broken because something happened the last 7 days of your life. That's why we're here. And that's why we're here on Wednesday night too, just y'all know. We're here for you. I want to open this altar up. You got it pulled up, Melon? This is a beautiful song called Come As You Are. Hear the Spirit call. Whatever you're battling, whatever you need, I want you to know God cares for your need. I want to say, let us say this just right now. Doesn't matter what you're carrying, what sin you're in even right now. Don't sit there and think God's only going to see my sin and not hear my prayer. No. God's going to hear your prayer. I want you to come to Him and take time, whatever it is you're battling. If you just need to leave here knowing, you may just need to feel His Spirit again, church. You ever go through a real dry place? You just don't feel Him. You kind of go through a place, you just don't feel Him for a while. You get into just a bad place to where you're going through the motions, but you hadn't really felt Him the way you need. God's still alive. His Holy Spirit's still moving. If you need anything today, I want to give the church this chance, she sings this song, to come and just kneel before the Lord. And you can stay in your seat too. That's fine. God can meet you where you're at. But for some, it's more, maybe more moving or more impactful to walk up and kneel down and just at this, you know, we built this altar. This altar is built for use. It's not built for looks. It's built for use. That we just kneel down in the presence of God and say, Lord, hear me today. I just need you. That's you. Come and pray.
Just as you are, hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are, come and see, come receive, come and live.
I want each of you to stand up, if you would. I want to do something in closing before our offering's received. And you can go ahead and play the song. Don't sing, I'm going to play it. You can go back out there. You go out too, Jeremy. I want you to take the hand of someone. Wherever you're standing, grab whoever's hand you're beside. Don't go look for somebody that you like. Just grab who you, grab who's beside you. I want you to look to the right and left of whose hand you're holding. I want you to look at each other. We're family, church. We're family. No matter what color our skin is, what sins we're carrying, how we look physically, we're family. Fathers, we join hands, arm in arm right now in this body. Some may not even know anything about the person's hand they're holding, but the only thing they need to know is they're yours. God, I pray this family grows and grows in you, and that all the problems and all the battles, as we hold each other's hands, that you move in their lives, God. They're our brothers. They're our sister. We're going to all be in the same place in the end, around the same throne, worshiping the same God, singing the same songs. We're all going to be saying, worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up. Every tongue, every language, every nation will bow their knee at the same God, Jesus our Lord. Lord, I pray for this body, for sickness that it be healed, for peace that it be given, for joy that it be restored, for broken homes that it be repaired, for rebellious children that they come home, for addiction that it be broken. Whatever the issue is in this family, God, have your way and bring supernatural deliverance in Jesus' name. And let our love for each other grow far beyond what our eyes see or our ears hear. But when we look at each other, we see you, God. We see an extension of who you are and who you came to reach and who you came to touch. Thank you for that, Jesus. Bless this family of Living Word. Bless it and raise it up and use all of us for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we give you praise. And the church said, amen. Thank y'all so much. Y'all can be seated. If y'all could see what I see up here, maybe I'll do that some Sunday. Have each one of you come across the stage and just look at who's out here. At all the faces, how different they look, how ages are different, how each face has a life and has a battle. Beautiful. Can you stop that? Thank you. Chuck and Jill, y'all come up and do a closeout for our offering. Ushers, if you can come up, give you a chance to give your offering and tithes this morning to the Lord. I just want to know how much I love each of you and how so glad you're a part of my family. And I really mean that. It's an amazing story how God brought some of you to this body of this local church. We had one family, I won't call the name, we had one family that went to, they were going to try out a couple churches, we were one of them, and then there was another church, but the other church, they got there at the wrong time, so they said, well, I'll come to this church, and ever since. See, God's got a grace of humor, don't he? Because they were here at the right time, that's exactly right. And so, we all have a story, and God knows it all. Father, we thank you for this service and your word. We thank you that you prepared this great table, Lord. We thank you that your call is still being out there, that you're still inviting people. I pray ears will hear the call, Lord, before it's too late, that they'll hear the call and they'll choose, Lord, to say, yes, I hear you, Jesus. I'll follow you. I'll give you my heart. I'll give it to you, God, wholeheartedly. I'll give you everything that I am. I pray hearts have been touched today and that lives have been encouraged and changed by what's happened here. Bless the offering, Lord, as we give of our finances, a beautiful time of worship to give our sacrifice, our burnt offering, so to speak, unto you, God. We give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.